Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool, is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editors meeting.
Welcome guys, the lucky number 39. It's not lucky at all, just thought I'd say that because it sounds good. This week we have Tom. It's his first time, so everyone be nice. How are you, Tom? And how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Really honoured to be here in this palatial studio. Just to give you guys a little intro, I'm the head of brand at Zach. So any kind of shameless plugs that I make throughout for promotional material that we're working on, just try and gently ignore those, please.
It would be a bit like Rihanna.
Don't ignore them.
Don't ignore them.
Defeats the point of a plug.
No, that's a good idea. Thanks, Tom. You have an interesting background. You worked at Hypebeast, so I'm just assuming everything you're going to say on this podcast is going to be cool, because I guess that's...
Not the case. Quite the opposite.
Okay, we're setting expectations from the start. And we've also got Jaron. He's back.
Seasoned veteran.
Yeah. Do you know what number this is?
Like five.
Okay. Oh.
Four?
In
four
a whole
five.
Year? I mean...
He isn't doing that much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome
he's
back.
He's no Chris, let's put it that way.
Oh, that's so mean. I'm happy that you're here, Jaron.
Thank you, Jaron.
Welcome back. And of course, we've got the editor-in-chief of Cool Shit Newsletter and Podcast, James. James, how are you this week?
Oh, good. I'm very well, thank you.
You told me you were in a bad mood this morning. Is this going to cheer you up?
Maybe. Although I feel incredibly unprepared, because I meant to spend a little 10 minutes kind of getting ready, but I spent it going through an old podcast to prove that Gareth says Richie Sunak rather than Rishi Sunak, which he does.
So it was
worth it.
I hope it was, just to prove that you're right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, and obviously it's been a big week this week, because there was a Super Bowl.
It's been a very big week. Yeah, I'm sure we're all enormous big... American football fans. Yeah.
I love American football. I play it every week, so I don't. So what stories have you got, James?
Yeah, so
I mentioned Super Bowl because obviously...
Because, thank you for drum rolling that.
really badly.
Yeah, so we're going to do a bit of a little Super Bowl-y special kind of thing.
Super Bowl-y.
Yeah, and okay, so I've got two ads, and I think... Okay, let's just watch the first one. The first one is Pop Corners, which... I haven't heard of. I think it's like Pop Chips. It's an American brand. And they released an ad starring Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston and directed by Vince Gilligan as a kind of remake of Breaking Bad. But they're not selling crystal meth. They're selling these little crisps that you get.
Even better.
Have you seen it? Should we watch it live?
I've seen it.
I've seen it.
Okay, we don't need to watch it live.
We don't need to watch it live. Okay, and why do you think this is cool? And what out of all the Super Bowl ads that there were?
Actually,
there were
tell you tons. What, I'm gonna mix things up. If I may, let's retain some neuroplasticity in our brains and break convention. I want you to ask someone else first what they think of it.
Okay, wow, he's really switching things up. Okay.
Because I feel like I don't want to influence.
Yeah.
I don't want to influence.
You're
I'm a very influential,
really influential
person. Yeah, exactly.
You are, so I can see how that can happen.
I'm just gonna put it out there. I haven't seen Breaking Bad.
Okay, neither have I.
Which is like, yeah.
I watched two episodes. I got bored.
That was the same for me, and I actually felt exactly the same way about this ad. Like, immediately didn't connect with it.
But you wouldn't if you hadn't seen it. It relies on the nostalgia.
Totally. But, you know, all in all, like, good ad. I think there's kind of generally a bit of a problem where, you know, you're looking at Super Bowl ads and it's, like, super Americanized.
Yeah,
so,
always
like,
is.
Immediately a bit of a turn off. But, yeah, like, cool concept. Yeah, you've got, like, product placement through the whole thing, and it's like called out the whole way through. So
yeah, I think I semi-agree with you, but again, I've never watched Breaking Bad, but I liked this advert because I can understand that there's such a cult following and people are obsessed with the show, and I can see like the consistency with the show in this. It's not like a glossy advert. It literally looks, it could be a scene
like
from the
shot
show.
For shot, yeah, they killed yeah. it. Like, yeah, as someone who is a fan of Breaking Bad, mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought it was funny. Oh. Like
it was
like
true,
yeah.
true to the show, basically.
Like, to a T. To the point where I was like, have they just like put the bag in
his
hand through AI? Like it was spot on. The way he acted it, the shots. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was like, that was the thing for me. It was like that uncanny valley where it's like, it feels like a scene from Breaking Bad, but you've just got the product like front and center throughout. And it's like, how have they done that? Has it been dropped in like after in post, or
like they did with
the chips there?
Asda's Christmas advert with Elf. No?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's a very that's a very good callback.
Thanks.
Well done. Yeah.
Thanks.
That's a
good reference. This is why I'm the host now. Yeah. But okay, James, obviously there's tons of Super Bowl ads and there's always such a big pressure for brands to do really well with them because, you know, they're going, millions of people are going to see it. Why did you pick this one?
I picked this one because I actually don't like it very much.
Interesting. Yeah. Shock. James doesn't like something.
Which is why I didn't speak first, because they would have just, these sheep would have fallen in line and said, oh, no, me neither. I don't know, like... Firstly, I didn't think the, considering how, maybe we've been spoiled with how good deepfakes are, but like, because it's their younger faces, isn't it, on their bodies. And it just doesn't, like, the Bryan Cranston one at first, it looks like he's having a fucking stroke. Like, I don't think they've done it incredibly well. And then, like, I get the idea of it, but it's just, it actually, I found it a little bit cringe.
Okay. But like, it's not taking itself seriously, is it? Like, by any means.
That's
kind of why
goal.
I liked it. It was a joke of itself. Like, I don't know.
Visually,
like, so does it need to be perfect? Does it need to be, I don't know, that why polished
you,
and clean?
James, why do you think it looks like he's having a stroke? Because they've messed up some editing.
I just don't think the deepfake is that good. Considering some of them are kind of so perfect, like you see the Tom Cruise one now. Like, look at him, he doesn't look well.
Jaron, you are a editor, graphics person. What do you think?
It's weird, right? Because I watching it, I kind of felt like there is something, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't think it was that bad. I think you're giving it a hard time, like, for the sake of it.
It's done
really well.
Maybe that's what's turned me against this ad, is because I heard about it before I saw it. Like, and I heard about this like a week ago, like before the Super Bowl even happened. So they launched it on like YouTube first and people already loved it. And I think it was kind of people losing their minds over it, put me off slightly. Maybe it built my expectations up a little bit too much. And it just, I don't know, maybe it's because I love Breaking Bad so much as well that I felt like quite a kind of cheap version of it. And that's why I was surprised that it was written and directed by Vince Gilligan, the guy who actually made Breaking Bad. So you'd think it would maybe, I was going to say you'd think it would be really authentic, but and it was in a sense, like the Tuco part I enjoyed.
Tuco's
I enjoyed
the best thing. That's the thing.
That's why at the first 30 seconds,
his which, fingers up, he's pointing.
The first 30 seconds, which cost $7 million, I believe, kind of put me off. But then Tuco screaming tight, 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 kind of brought me back round a little bit. But I don't know. I felt a little bit underwhelmed. And also the other thing, just looking at them, I've never had them, but I can guarantee popcorners taste like shit.
I was just about to say this.
They don't look nice.
I was like, does this make you want to eat them?
But this is the other thing, because there was also an ad with, had this been like Doritos or something? It's the fact that it looks like a cheap product as well kind of puts me off. Had this been like Doritos or something more reputable on the level of Breaking Bad, then maybe I'd be more convinced. But the fact that they're doing what looks like the kind of Aldi budget version of Doritos makes you think, oh, really? Can do any better?
I don't think anyone at Zach is going to be eating popcorners anytime soon. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it seems a bit of a stretch. The slogan at the end, which must be popcorners, the break into something good.
I didn't even notice.
Come on, man. That's a stretch, isn't
that's
it?
That's where all the budget went.
Break into... And the annoying thing is, as a copywriter, I think that's where the idea started. It's like, someone was just there going, breaking goods! And then they spent $100 million on it.
Post-rationalised.
Yeah, pretty much. So it left me a little bit, as I imagine popcorners would, it left me feeling a little bit empty.
Nice, that was good.
Thank you. Do you want to watch the Squarespace one quickly? Because this is a good one. I think we've got time.
Okay, so James is now showing us another advert.
Hey, we've got time. This isn't the second story. I just want to watch this one, and we're going to talk about it for 30 seconds. This is going to be a speed round. So this is Adam Driver for Squarespace.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
Unreal, yeah.
And also, the other thing, just going back to the kind of the line that finishes it, in this, they're repeating it almost as kind of subliminal thing, that a website that makes websites, which is like their slogan, and he's treating it as if it's something baffling, but it's actually kind of summing it up incredibly simply, which is just a really kind of neat way of dressing up a really fucking simple message in the most weird kind of elaborate Stanley Kubrick fever dream-esque way.
It was smart, and he's he's stunning. So
I was going to say, and you think he's a big hunky man?
He's a big hunky man. The size of his hands, have you seen them? Huge.
Yeah, yeah. They're like catchers, mate. So I want him to catch
me. So I love that advert.
It's great. It looks fucking cool, like, first of all.
And it's
like,
expensive.
It's referencing things like The Matrix. Yeah, and like, smart. There's so many things that thread through it. And I don't know, like, if you've seen the ad, check out the website version of it as well, because they've done, like, on Squarespace, they've done like a digital build that you can like click around and explore, and it's even more mad. So it's just a nice campaign that they're building around Squarespace, I think, with him.
And also, actually, just I got a nasty message about 20 minutes ago saying that our website's fucked. So if you at home managed to listen to this, it means we fixed it, but it means that I have to do something to fix it, which I'm not very happy about.
Shameless plug of the website.
And we don't use Squarespace for that website. Did I say that wrong? Squarespace?
Squarespace.
Squarespace for that one.
Maybe we should.
So perhaps we should.
Help. Well, thanks for that story. That wasn't a story, James.
It wasn't a story, but now I'm thinking, I'm going to do another one that's a brief one, because I don't think we need to talk about this too much. But again, sticking with the Super Bowl. This is a strange episode. Sticking with the Super Bowl, despite the hundreds of millions of dollars spent on literally seconds of advertising, the sort of the marketing MVP of the Super Bowl was Rihanna, who didn't have to pay anything and actually probably got paid millions herself, and then managed to make more millions out the back end by promoting her brand, Fenty Beauty, for literally, like, what, 3 seconds at the start of her halftime show? And the kicker is, since she did that, Fenty Beauty has grown 833%.
I'm probably 1% of those people. I love Fenty.
Did you go straight on?
I have so much stuff already, but it almost reminded me. Yeah. Like, oh, so actually,
wait, you think you're 1%? So you think they gained an extra 833 fans?
I'm so shit with numbers, really. Maybe you didn't really give context.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if you don't know what James is talking about, in the middle of her show where she's performing, which people were like absolutely buzzing for because she's kind of been a bit ghosty since launching her brands,
she decided
she decided to blot her face with a invisible matte setting powder.
Invisible? So,
yeah, it's a translucent powder. So it's called InvisiMatte.
I was going to say, she didn't mind
not
it.
Invisible.
Yeah, right. Okay, no, that makes more sense.
Yeah, which is obviously a really smart move for
genius
for product placement and just marketing her brands.
She didn't get paid to be there, though. That was free.
Oh,
they
didn't know that.
They paid for production costs. She didn't get paid a penny.
Why not? She needs a better agent.
Need to, it's the advertising, isn't it? Which obviously works.
Oh, well, you don't get paid for a halftime show at the Super Bowl in general.
She gained like 1.5 mil followers as well, socially.
Oh my God.
Like, it's all the knock-on effect.
Where were
those
1.5 million people before this? Did they not know who Rihanna is?
Isn't it? Who is this lady? I like her.
She's a football fan.
There's actually a video of someone Shazamming one of her songs at the game, like when they're watching it. I'm thinking, where have you been?
I was surprised, though, that straight after this, because she goes into All of the Lights, doesn't she? Which is the can. It's an interesting choice. That would have gone more viral if she'd brought him out, actually.
Oh, yeah. So what was she saying? That there's going to be like a specialist appearance from someone or something. That was like the hype, basically. And people were like, oh my God, who's she going to bring out? But she didn't bring out anyone. It was either the baby or the powder. I'm not sure which one was supposed to be the surprise guest.
I suppose it must have been the powder. Bringing the baby out would be weird.
No, she's
like
pregnant.
Simba.
She's in her belly.
She's pregnant. Oh. She also announced that she's pregnant. So it was a whole thing.
Thank God you said that. I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to be rude. But she is actually pregnant.
She is, yeah.
She can move for a woman with a human in her.
I know. There's no excuses, pregnant ladies.
I was going to say, at what cost to women demanding maternity leave?
For
she
God's
didn't need
sake. Tom, what do you think of her blotting her face halfway?
Like, it's the Super Bowl. It's the halftime show has kind of become bigger than the like game itself.
Yeah, more people watch that than the game.
Stage.
Yeah.
So like nothing's really off limits, and you're almost just trying to create constant viral moments, aren't you? Whether it's like Katy Perry's Dancing Sharks or something like that. So they've just cottoned on that, hey, we can have like product placement within the show itself. Like it's so simple, it's so stupid, it's almost good.
Mm-hmm. Literally a few seconds.
Because that's the thing, again, when I read the headline, I thought she must have done loads, and I saw the video, and it was literally bop, 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 bop. For the leaders, that was... Leaders? Listeners, that was me dabbing my face.
That's how you put makeup on, according to James.
Because it's so simple, and it's, like, so kind of blazon, and she's, like, doing her makeup mid-show, which is, like, ridiculous if you think about it. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's why it's got such good effect, because, yeah, it's just really random.
Gina, have you bought any Fenty Beauty?
Yeah, I've got loads.
Have you?
Yeah, they sell it in Boots, so I'm always popping
down
to Westfield.
Let's try some.
Yeah, we can. I use their lip glosses.
Yeah,
every
I shouldn't
day.
Have directed that just at Gina. We're in the modern world now.
Also true.
Jaron,
love a bit of Fenty.
You could do with a bit of makeup, Jaron.
They do skincare as well. They do unisex skincare. Here I am plugging Rihanna.
I'll tell you what, actually, this is a side note. I've been trying to wean my hands off of moisturiser.
Because
they were all cracking the other day and they started bleeding. But I think
how
I've spoiled. I think I've spoiled my hands.
Yeah.
And now they expect moisturiser. So now if they don't say, where is it? And they go all dry and protest and start cracking.
Well,
so.
Harry Styles has a brand for you, and it's called Pleasing. And that's the kind of male grooming.
It is.
Super brand.
But this is the point. I don't want it. Because there's a Jim Jefferies bit where he talks about how he smokes 40 a day. Like he's been a cocaine addict. But his skin is fucking flawless compared to his wife, who has to have 8 special creams before they go out.
Oh, so, dear. Moving swiftly on. Thanks for the Super Bowl.
What do you mean,
James?
Moving swiftly on? Has he said something offensive there? Right.
I didn't know where it was going to go. As soon as I hear cocaine in a sentence, I don't know.
I don't know what's happening.
As soon as I hear cocaine in the sentence, I can't hear anything else.
For my submission to Cool Shit, I was thinking about like the biggest moments in pop culture this week. So what have we had? Pharrell Williams becoming menswear creative director at Louis Vuitton. Mischief's big red boot. I'm sure
I love
you've
the
all
big
seen
squidgy
it.
Red boots, yeah.
But I think with all this kind of big stuff going on, I fear that many may have missed something far bigger. So my submission for this week is Mark Zuckerberg sparring with a UFC fighter in the metaverse. Mm-hmm. So this is to help announce that Meta are going to be giving virtual reality metaverse access to some of the UFC bouts. But what's really being talked about is the typically awkward Meta promotional video starring Mark with scripted moments, typically bad acting, and over-the-top fight scenes. So for anyone listening, you know, go check it out. It's really hilarious. And Gina, if you just let me for a moment go in on this a
little
bit, because I've kind of broken the rules here. I don't think this is cool at all. It's quite the opposite. It keeps cutting to the in-metaverse experience that we're meant to like believe we can somehow like be a part of. But that totally depends on the tech being advanced enough and us all owning VR headsets, which I find kind of really strange. We obviously don't. And then, yeah, there's this bit where he does this cool kung fu kick off the floor. You know, in like kung fu movies when you get hit back.
The jump up. Yeah.
He like does, Mark Zuckerberg does that at one point. Like, what's going on? It just feels that, I don't know, Mark Zuckerberg's kind of lost and he's being directed by people at Meta and Facebook to do all this awkward stuff.
It's embarrassing.
It just feels really embarrassing. So Mark, if you're listening, Give Zach a call. We'll help you with your marketing strategy.
No, we won't.
With your personal brand.
I will.
Jaron says no.
I will.
Call me
Mark.
Yeah, I mean, same.
It was funny how, and I want to say, I couldn't disagree more, but I'll get to that. But the bit that I do agree on, it is funny, the kind of the least believable part in a video about the metaverse was Mark Zuckerberg trying to be a human going, hey, what do you think of my gym? I'm kind of with you, but you say like over the top fight scenes. It's MMA, so it wasn't that over the top. I thought it was fairly gentle. And I feel like the hand spring was a kind of deliberate trope to Bruce Lee movies. I don't know. I thought it was mainly funny. And also that point of it would rely on us having the technology and all owning VR headsets. That doesn't sound that far-fetched to me.
Not
like next week, but like I don't think anyone thinks we're going to be in the metaverse next week. But I think this is showing, this is where it is currently for the bloke who owns the fucking thing and a UFC champion, but in however many years' time, you could actually do this. And then this would be like the, this is, it looked to me, it reminded me of kind of like Wii boxing as well, apart from you're actually doing it. I thought, and I think if you could have a fight in the metaverse, I think that's actually quite cool.
Do you know what this reminds me of? There's a Black Mirror episode where two friends play Street Fighter.
Yeah, that's quality.
And they end up like falling in love and having sex in the game. And it kind of reminded me of that. Even, but
you can have sex in Street Fighter.
I mean, they do because they're like, fully immersed in the game. It looks like it's kind of going that way,
yeah,
well, right?
Some of the comments were like, it would be cool if you had some kind of like haptics. So if you were doing the fight, you know, you would feel like the impact
someone
on the
actually,
body and stuff.
Yeah, like Black Mirror.
This is all completely dependent on the technology not only being advanced enough to, like at this present moment, but it being available. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not cost effective to go out and buy all this gear. So yeah, I get that kind of Meta is thinking about the future and like where we're going to be. I don't know, is this like 10 years, 20 years? I don't know. It just feels too soon.
I do agree in a sense that I feel like we've been hearing about the metaverse for actually, I say a long time, but a long time in the relative sense with how kind of quickly tech moves, but over a couple, and it's still kind of this thing that's sort of imaginary and hasn't really seemingly progressed forwards that much. But I'm not ruling out that it could then suddenly something huge is dropped. I think they're working on stuff in the background, surely.
Yeah,
surely they're doing something.
What is it they're trying to give us? Like, I don't really know. Like, they're saying you can watch it in the metaverse, watch UFC in the metaverse, but is that just like getting together with your digital mates and then it's on a screen?
Probably.
Or is it like a 3D
like a
space where you're actually in the arena? Like, I don't know what they're offering.
That was the part that I didn't realize. So I knew that Meta have started this partnership with the UFC, which is a weird mix because Mark Zuckerberg has actually started training MMA. And it's, I saw like his coach was saying, oh, he's a silent killer, and it's like, yeah, that's what we're worried about. Don't say that.
Yeah, it's like, it's Meta targeting these kind of wannabe alpha types. I just find the whole thing so creepy.
Like James, yeah.
It's continuing Meta's like descent into creepiness. So
yeah,
I'll say it again. Mark, give us a call.
I'm not sure that everyone interested in MMA is a wannabe alpha necessarily, but
some might be.
Yeah,
there you go.
Great point, Gina.
No, good
point, well made. You've given me something to chew on, man.
I always do every week.
No, definitely not. Like, all sport is good sport, but it just seems like a strange.
Except tenuous badger
thing.
Baiting, but yeah, sure.
And fox hunting.
Nah, that's good. No, it's not.
Jaron, last but not least, I'm excited to hear your story.
Yeah.
What's going on
more
in your
crazy
world?
Tech shit.
Of course.
Of course. What else?
It's cool shit. What do you expect?
And I'm going for something to do with podcasts, seeing as we're on a podcast.
Relevant.
Some folks have created an AI-based podcast. No humans, no anything. They have two hosts, both AI.
Like
they
us.
Have, like James
like
and
you,
Gina.
Just like you. They have experts who come on the show.
Like
us.
And they're AI as well. And I think they're about 15 minutes long. And they just go through a range of different conversations from like weird things you can find online that are actually true, like weird little Google games, all the way through to talking about anal sex and the way it feels. And they fully interact.
The way it feels? How does it feel, Jaron?
to quote them, it's tight at the entrance and then loosens up the deeper you go.
Literally,
yes.
No, the podcast you're describing literally just sounds like the Cool Shit podcast.
Pretty much.
Yeah. We're threatened now.
And you know that thing, the Google singing blobs?
Yeah.
That, well, clearly we're ahead of our time. That was in Cool Shit about 2 years ago, I think.
Oh, interesting.
So this actually isn't far off us. Have we talked about anal sex? We just did.
I'm pretty sure we have at some point, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's crazy. I honestly, I don't know how I feel about it. I always feel strange when it comes to AI because like half of me wants to embrace it and think like, this is fucking wild. Like, you know, what's next? And the other half is like, what's it doing?
Yeah.
Like,
I think you've got to embrace. I think you've got to evolve with it or be left behind.
Every week we have this same conversation, don't we? Because there's always an AI story on the Cool Shit podcast, and we're always like, oh my god, this is so strange, but also like, let's move on with the times and embrace
it. But it's become the thing that's changing is it's becoming far, when we used to talk about it was far more sort of crazy doomsday, the future, whereas now it feels an awful lot more immediate. Like, we're literally doing a podcast and we've been made redundant in the space of that podcast, potentially.
I feel though, like it's a gimmick. Like people are tuning in just to see how they talk. It's not a genuine interest in what it's got to say. It's not okay. doing anything like in terms of what they're offering people like in a is revolutionary. It's just the fact that they're not human, and that's it. So it's weird. You're listening to something you don't really care about just to see how it works.
Like that music one story that Pablo brought 2 weeks ago.
Or the Seinfeld thing we had last week. So now you're seeing all of these various kind of applications, but of AI, but particularly kind of going into, I guess entertainment and
like
how people spend their leisure
though,
time.
Right?
But I could imagine. I'm thinking because I listen to loads of podcasts, and I'm thinking, does the fact that there's a human doing the podcast make any difference to me, or do I just enjoy the content? And I think if probably a bit, but if an AI podcast was good enough and was giving me the same stuff, then I could absolutely imagine myself listening to an AI podcast.
I think I'll go the other way. I feel more connected knowing it was a real person with a real experience. I don't know. It feels sort of
that's why James
know,
is the way he is, and
Jared. Yeah, I was going to say, maybe I'm just incredibly sort of misanthropic, and I don't even want to be around people through a computer screen.
Tom, would you listen to an AI podcast?
I think they need a human element of some kind, and that's not me saying that the AI can't mimic that. But when you're listening to a podcast, it's all about like the pacing and the tone, and that's a very human thing. So unless that can be kind of replicated, I would worry it would just sound a bit robotic. And like
but I think it will for now.
News kind of like ticker tape. Like it just, you wouldn't be able to like really get across a point, which I think good podcasts do.
Oh, I feel like you could. I'm starting to think pretty within the fairly near future, pretty much anything we can do that we'd consider kind of quintessentially and essentially human will be able to be replicated to the point where it's kind of experientially, subjectively indistinguishable.
Okay, well, tune in a year's time. There might not be a cool shit podcast anymore. It might just be an AI one.
Yeah,
ChatGPT
is going to be writing the newsletter. and then I think maybe I'll be out of job, but hey, I'll have more leisure time. I'll get more time to spend in the metaverse. Lucky me.
Cool, well thanks Jaron.
Thank you.
And thank you Tom.
Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed your first podcast
with us.
Thanks
for having me.
I'm sure we'll have you back.
And thank you for completely ignoring the brief, Tom, and bringing something you don't
He's
like.
He's a rebel. He's a rebel, that's
You're
all
welcome.
And Jaron will be welcoming you back soon.
I hope so.
Normally we don't do this, and there's an element of surprise for the listeners / readers about what's going to make it into the newsletter. But this week, what's making it in?
Well, you're going to go have to read the newsletter at zachagency.com/cool-sht.
I actually hate you. Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.